If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we magnify your holy and precious name. Lord, we give you and you alone the honor and the glory and the praise. Lord, we thank you for your presence that we feel here. And Lord, it's your presence. And Lord, we not only need to feel your presence, Lord, we need to hear your voice, oh God. God, let us lay aside every distraction, all the things from last week, all the things from next week, even things we may be thinking on today. Lord, and let us focus upon you and your word. And Lord, let our eyes be open, our spiritual eyes be open. But Lord, let our spiritual ears be open and receptive and responsive to you, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts. And Lord, let us respond to what you speak. God, help me, your servant, to speak that which you've laid upon my heart, God. But Lord, help us all to seek to draw closer to you. And we thank you for your word. I thank you for this wonderful group of people that's here today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. We've kind of been in somewhat of a series called Lord, Sharpen Our Senses. And today we want to look at Lord, Open Our Spiritual Ears. Open our spiritual ears. As we are in this time of prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord to do within and through us that which He desires. Our theme has been, Lord, Sharpen Our Senses. Last week, as we saw through the scriptures, that before we can begin to look outward and move outward and help others outwardly, we must first take an open and honest look within ourselves to see if there's anything or any things that need to be removed, worked on, or strengthened in order that the Lord can do all that He desires and intends to do in and through our lives so you and I can be all that God would have us to do and to be. We saw that we are only truly able to see and help others only as we see and recognize our own weaknesses and make things right and ask the Lord to help us and strengthen us. All this kind of came out of a quote from Abraham Lincoln, which said this, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe." So what are we working on? We're sharpening the axe. Can you say amen? We are the axe. We're sharpening our senses, and we're asking the Lord to help sharpen our spiritual senses. Last week it was our spiritual sight. Today we want to say, Lord, open and sharpen our spiritual ears. Can you say amen? Hearing is one of the most important senses we have. Huh? It's how we communicate. Communication is not only talking, but it's also what? It's how we communicate with others. It's how we take in information. It's how we receive instruction. It's how we listen for danger. It is how we respond to what's going on around us. Many times we will hear something before we what? See something. Hello. Our hearing is extremely important. The media is going along right along with us because in this time of fasting, one thing I've realized, there's more food commercials I've ever noticed. Hello, have you noticed that? There's more eyeglass commercials than you can shake a stick at. And there's more hearing aid commercials than you can shake a stick at. I'm a little nervous. I'm there on the eyeglasses. My brother's 9 years older than I am, and about 2 or 3 years ago, he had to get him some hearing aids. Now, I'm very nervous about that. My brother and I, our personalities, Donna would let you know this, and my children will let you know this. My brother and I's personalities are pretty well different. He's more of an introvert somewhat. He's real, real intelligent. Not that I'm not, but he's a smart guy. He just is. But our personalities are totally different. But apparently our chemical makeup is closely the same. he began to have kidney stones at an early age, and lo and behold, a few years ago, I began to experience these wonderful things called kidney stones. My dad never had them. My mom never experienced them. And I called him a few years ago. I said, Ricky, how old were you when you started wearing glasses? He said, about your age. And so I'm real nervous about the hearing aid deal. Hello, I don't know if I need to go ahead and start saving money up. I'm not going to claim that. Hello. Some people say I have selected hearing. I'm not going to look at that individual right now. But our spiritual hearing, like our spiritual sight, is extremely important as well. But what's more, it is the things that we tune our physical ears to. It's the things we tune our physical ears to that can have a major impact on our spiritual hearing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. In a negative sense, if we tune our ears to the wrong things, we can become dull of hearing spiritually. Jesus confirmed that. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 14, Jesus said, in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. Keep in mind, we're talking about our spiritual eyesight and our last week and our spiritual hearing today. And Jesus says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, say dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should hear them, heal them. In other words, Jesus is basically confirming that our spiritual sight and our spiritual hearing is directly attached to our spiritual healing. But when we don't want to see the things he wants us to see, when we don't want to hear the things he wants us to hear, then we shut off the ability for the things that he wants to do in and through our life, and that's bring healing to our bodies and our minds and our hearts. And our understanding is lacking. Not only did Jesus make that statement in the New Testament, but Paul quotes Isaiah in the New Testament. And the writer of Hebrews quotes that same phrase in the New Testament. And they're all quoting Isaiah in the Old Testament. So we see it was a problem for those people in the Old Testament. It was a problem for people in the New Testament. And guess what? I'm just convinced that it's probably a major problem for the church today in 2019 in our day and hour. Can you say amen? That word dull means this, means to thicken, to fatten, to stupefy, to render callous. But if there's ever a day that we need a Holy Ghost Q-tip to clean out our spiritual ears, it's today in this generation. I believe that's why the Lord would have us to allow him to sharpen our senses, especially our spiritual hearing, so that we may hear his voice as well as the voice of the Spirit. That's why the scripture today, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone has an ear, how many of you got ears? Most time we got two ears, amen. What are some things that hinder our spiritual healing, hearing? What are some things that hinder our spiritual hearing? Well, there's a lot of things that are out there because Paul said in Corinthians, there's a lot of voices out there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10 says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of languages or voices in the world, and none of them is without significance or distinction. There's a lot of voices in our world vying for our attention. But what stops up the flow from our ears to our hearts? What clogs that up? What causes us to be fattened? What causes us to be stupefied? Not stupid, but stupefied. I guess we are kind of stupid if we don't listen. Hello. What renders our spiritual hearing callous? What cuts off the flow of our hearing from our ears to our heart? Because there's so many voices out there vying for our attention, trying to influence us trying to dominate our time, trying to dominate our interest. But as a born-again child of God, we're not to listen to all the other voices. There is one voice that you and I are to be listening to and for, and that's the voice of the shepherd. That's the voice of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He goes on to say in John 10, he says, "A stranger's voice they will not follow." But I believe too many times we have too many people, too many Christians, not just here, but across the body of Christ, too many Christians that are following other voices. Can you say amen? We begin to get into trouble when we listen to the wrong voice. We begin to get in trouble when we begin to listen to other voices. It's been going on from literally the beginning of time. Eve is a classic example of that. Before she ever looked at the tree, before she ever took a bite of that fruit, her biggest and her first mistake was she began to listen to the voice of the serpent. All he did was begin to speak to her. He didn't hold her down and put that fruit in her mouth and said, "Chew it." All he did was begin to speak to her and cause her to try to doubt what God said. What messed her up is when she began to listen to the wrong voice. We've been paying for it ever since. It's a dangerous thing when we listen to the wrong voice. Look what the Lord told Adam after everything began to happen and after they had been caught, and then God begins to bring judgment. The Lord told Adam in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life.'" The curse on the ground came because Adam heeded the voice of his wife more than the voice of God. And Eve heeded the voice of the serpent more than the voice of God, because she knew what God had said. She knew what God had spoken. She knew what she was supposed to do and not do. But yet she listened to the wrong voice and got into trouble. Adam listened to the wrong voice. There's something there. Now, I'm not knocking you, so don't you go home and say, the pastor said my husband don't have to listen to me. No, there's something we better see there. There's no voice on this earth, no matter who it is, no matter how close you are to them, that takes preeminence or precedent over the voice of God. Adam, the ground is cursed because you heeded the voice of your wife more than my voice. You did what she said instead of what I had already told you. Church, anytime we heed the wrong voice rather than the voice of the Lord or the voice of the Spirit or the voice of His Word, we begin to get into trouble. Oh God, sharpen our senses. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Can you say amen? Are y'all with me this morning? Listening to the wrong voice or wrong things will cause us trouble every time. What are some other things? Number one, pride. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 15 says, "Hear and give ear. Do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken." When we listen to our own wants and our own desires and follow after our own ways and rather than the Lord, we get into trouble. When we think we know better than what God knows. When we think we know how to handle this better than how God tells us to handle it. When we think we know how to do it better than how God tells us to do it. One of the things that we'll see very quickly is every time in the Old Testament, say the Old Testament, when the children of Israel got in trouble, began to backslide, and eventually were defeated by their enemies and taken captive, every single time, the prophet said it over and over and over again. It all started with what? When they quit listening to the voice of God. Every time the children of Israel got in trouble in the Old Testament, is when they quit listening to the voice of God. When they quit hearing and heeding His voice. When they felt like they could do it on their own. Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, kind of brings this out. I'll share this scripture. Zechariah chapter 7, beginning verse 11. But they refused to heed. They shrugged their shoulders and they stopped their ears so they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent them by His Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as He proclaimed and they would not hear, so they called out and I would not listen, saith the Lord of hosts. Wow. They shrugged their shoulders. They popped their shoulders back. They stopped up their ears. They made their hearts like flints. They shut off the voice of God from speaking to their hearts. They made their hearts the flint. They said, we're going to do it our way. And every time they got in trouble. But here's the thing. You and I can get to the point, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Can you say amen? People are people all over the world, all through time. What is said there in that latter verse is this. When they got in such a mess, they realized they was in a mess. They said, when they begin to call, God says, all right, I proclaimed and you didn't hear me. Guess what? I'm not going to listen to you. I want a lot of people to listen to me, but I want one person to be able, I want to make sure the communication line is open between me and the Father, because He's the one that can take care of business. I want to be sure the communication line is open between me and Jesus, because He's the one that can handle it. I want to be sure the communication is open between me and the Spirit, because He's the one that can handle it. Can you say amen? But when we don't want to hear Him, we can get to the point where He will not listen to us. Pride. Are y'all with me this morning? Well, something else that can mess up our spiritual hearing, clog up our spiritual hearing. Worldly distractions. We are so caught up listening and watching so many other things around us in this world. Television, internet, social media, news outlets. We're trying to stay connected with of all and so many of our devices. And I'm not knocking all those things. But when they hinder us from being able to hear His voice, or when we allow them to interfere with the time we need to spend with Him or even our loved ones or our family, then there's a problem. It hinders our spiritual ears from being open because we are so distracted by all the things going on around us. Well, Brother Doss, I've got to be connected. I want to be connected because I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. Well, friends, there's one we better be connected with or we're going to miss him. There's one we better make sure we're connected with or we're going to miss him. We're going to miss his blessings. We're going to miss his promises. We're going to miss his strength. We're going to miss the word that's going to lead us in the right direction. If we got to make sure we stay connected, and in order to do that, we got to keep our spiritual ears open. Can you say amen? Amen. Number three, what's some things that stop up our spiritual ears? Selfish desires. Lord, I want to do this my way, when I want to do it, how I want, and even where I want, and with who I want. And I believe that will make me happy. And Lord, isn't that really what you want from me? That's when we listen to our own voice above the Lord's. And James says this, every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desires has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. When we listen to our own voice instead of the voice of the Lord, we're going to be in trouble. I didn't say it, but in the Old Testament it says, it's not in man to direct his own steps. God's not trying to control our lives. He's trying to lead us and guide us into, we sang about that promise, those promises. God wants to lead us and guide us into the promises and the plans that He has for us. Didn't say there wouldn't be trials. There will be. But guess what? He will help you get through the trials and help you to be an overcomer. Can you say amen? But if we're going to make it and be successful and be an overcomer and walk in victory. We've got to listen for his voice. Can you say amen? Are y'all with me this morning? What's some other things that stop up our spiritual ears? Voices of gossip, backbiting, slander that hurts or tears down others. Christians sometimes call it sharing. Well, that's good preaching, Pastor Doss. Amen. What's something that stops up our spiritual ears? The enemy. Just as with Adam and Eve, too many times we listen to the voice of the enemy. He is trying to cause you to stumble. He's trying to cause you to fall. He's trying to cause you to lose out with the Lord. He's trying to rob you of the promises and the blessings of God. He may put something, a temptation out there before you that looks so good and it feels so good. Sin is pleasurable for a season. He's going to let it feel good and look good and taste good. And oh, you're going to be all right for a season. But when that season is up, it's going to have torment, because the other scripture says sin has torment. And that's what the enemy has for you and has for me if we listen to his voice. Then he brings the voice of condemnation upon you. Then he brings the voice of fear and doubt and discouragement and depression and lies to tempt you to do things you know that's not pleasing to the Lord. He's trying to bring you confusion and a lot of noise so that you won't be able to hear the voice of the Lord clearly. Man, that's why he brings that confusion and that doubt and that fear, and it just gets us so confused and messed up and tore up and bound down and burdened down. Satan roams about, as the scripture says, as a roaring lion. He's not a lion. He's not a lion. But he walks around as a roaring lion. In other words, he's making a lot of noise. Amen. Trying to keep you and I from being able to hear the voice of God. Because he knows if we don't hear the voice of God, that we're going to be in trouble. Same old tactic he used in the garden is the same tactic he uses for you and I. But the Bible says we are to resist him steadfast in the faith. Submit ourselves to God. Resist the enemy and he will flee from you. Can you say amen? Amen. Number 6, busyness. Getting so caught up in the day-to-day hustle and bustle, the noise of all the things we got to do, that we don't set aside time to hear him. When his word says, sometimes we got to be still and know that I am God. Can you say amen? We're kind of like Martha. We're cumbered about and with many things. All these things and more can cause our hearing to become dull, thick, and stopped up. And it can affect every area of our lives. It can affect us emotionally. It can affect us mentally. It can affect us physically, but especially spiritually. Dull spiritual hearing is a strong sign of the end times. Because that's another thing that stops up our spiritual hearing, when we really just don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear what the truth is. We don't want to be convicted by our sin. We don't want to hear what thus saith the Lord, because the thus saith the Lord doesn't go with thus saith Greg. And that's a strong sign of the end times. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, Paul is speaking to Timothy. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." They don't want to hear a Holy Ghost message. They don't want to hear, "Thus saith the Lord." They don't want to hear what in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Why are so many denominations and so many fellowships getting so off track? Because they're hiring for themselves teachers because they don't want to hear what the truth is. And if they don't realize, they are binding themselves more and more and more and more because it's only the truth that's going to set them free. Can you say amen? Yeah. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But when we're given an ear tickle, oh, you just do the best you can, treat your neighbor good, and live how you want to. You just come, and you just be part of the big crowd, and you're going to be all right, and you're going to make heaven. Oh, we're all going to sing kumbaya all the way to glory. Hallelujah. They don't want to hear the truth. But it's only the truth that's going to set us free. It's only the truth that's going to give me strength to be able to go through the trials. It's only the truth that's going to give me the ability to overcome when the enemy comes at me. When the enemy shows up and says, if you'll just do this, if you'll just bow down this, if you'll just drink that, smoke that, do this, do that, pop this pill, say this, if you'll just do that, I'll bless you in this way. That's when the enemy says. And that's when you better know the truth that it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus didn't back the enemy up with who he was. He backed the enemy up by what thus saith the Lord says. Amen. And what backed the enemy up for Jesus will back the enemy up for you and I. Can you say amen? Amen. But too many people this day and hour don't want to hear the truth. Sad thing to say, too many people, too many men and even women behind this pulpit don't want to teach and don't want to preach the truth because they're worried about offending somebody. I don't want anybody to be offended, but I don't want to see, the Bible says, I've got to give an account for your soul. I've got enough to account for Greg Doss, but I want you to know when you've heard this man preach, I want you to know that you're not hearing an opinion from Greg Doss, that you're hearing the truth from the Word of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Because you have got to give an account for that word. You've got to give an account for what you hear. An opinion in your ear and in your heart is not going to change your life. But the word of God, spoken by the very breath of God and in the power of God, will transform a life all from one side to the other. Can you say amen? Amen. Will take you from being lost to being saved, from sick to being healed, from being possessed to being set free. Can you say amen? Folks just don't want to hear the truth. But where else are we going to go? A lot of Jesus' own disciples, not the 12. Jesus was talking to them and says, "He who drinks my blood and eats my flesh will be partakers of me." And he said several things along that line. And I believe it's in John. Many of his disciples said, you know what, this is a very hard saying. Who can bear it? And the Bible says, from that time they walked away and followed him no more. Notice Jesus didn't run after them. But then he turned to the 12. And he says, well, you go away also. And Peter, sometimes he said some wrong things, but this time he said the right thing. He said, Lord, where are we going to go? You've got the words of eternal life. We don't have to go anywhere else. Jesus has the words of eternal life. Can you say amen? Lord, sharpen our senses. I've got to hurry. How do we allow God to sharpen our spiritual hearing? How do we allow God to sharpen our spiritual hearing? Number one, repentance. Repentance. There we got to look within. Ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me of being dull of hearing. God, I've let so many things interfere. Forgive me of being dull of hearing. Lord, forgive me for listening to other voices and other things above your voice that have interfered with my relationship with you. See, whatever comes in, sooner or later, it's going to have an effect, and it has to come out in some way or another. Repentance. Lord, clean out my heart and my ears, because I want to hear your voice. Hello. How do we allow God to sharpen our spiritual hearing? Through prayer. Talking to the Lord, but also, guess what? Listening. Listening for him as well. Jeremiah 33:3, one of my favorite verses, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. What a promise. We talked about promise, sang about promises. If we'll call to him with a whole heart, a pure heart, he says, I will answer you. You know what? Before he can answer, before we can hear, our spiritual hearing has to be unstopped. Can you say amen? The Word. God will speak to you through his Word. After all, it is his Word. Can you say amen? Fasting. Truly fasting. It's not about weight loss. It'll happen. But truly fasting. I want to just give you a few examples. There are many times in Scripture when men and women of God were in times of fasting. That's when God showed up and spoke to them the loudest. Moses was on a mountain. He received the commandments of the Lord through 40 days of what? Fasting. Daniel, over and over in seeking the Lord, in times when he was fasting, and boy, Daniel, I can't wait to meet him on the other side up there. I'm looking forward to meeting him because he had such a walk with the Lord down here. But God would speak to Daniel in awesome ways during his times of fasting. It almost seemed like every time Daniel began to fast and pray, an angel of God would show up and speak to him directly. Can you say amen? I got tickled one time. An angel showed up, scared Daniel so bad he fell on his face. That's what you call going out under the power of God, the glory of God. He tried to get up. The angel spoke to him again. He went out again. The angel touched him again. He went out again. Finally, the angel said, stand up. That's what happens. Somebody says, well, y'all push folks down. No. When the Holy Ghost does. But God spoke to Daniel through times of fasting. And Elijah was trying to get back where he needed to be. And God sent him on a 40-day journey in fasting and prayer. And when he got up on the mountain began to shake one time. But God wasn't in the shaking. The mountain had fire come on it. But what God wasn't in the fire. The mountain had a tremendous wind come upon it. But God wasn't in the wind. But then God spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. But when he was in a time of fasting, Cornelius, an outsider, man was seeking God the best way he knew how. Didn't know really what he was doing, but he was fasting and praying and giving alms. And the Bible says he was fasting about the ninth hour and praying about the ninth hour, and all of a sudden an angel showed up. He says, Cornelius, he says, your prayers and your alms have been taken notice by God. Now, he's not saved yet. But he's trying to be. And God says, I'm going to make sure. But it happened while Cornelius was praying and fasting. Paul is on a storm-tossed sea when all hope seems lost. And the Bible says after a long abstinence from food, Paul probably said, you know what, I might as well fast. Can't eat no way. It ain't going to stay down no way. Paul, in the midst of that time of fasting and praying on that storm-tossed sea, gets a word from God, and he rises up and tells those men that word. He says, guys, there stood by me an angel of God this night. He's the God in whom I serve and to whom I belong. He said, Paul, everything's going to be all right. You will appear before Caesar. And by the way, everybody on board is going to make it safely to shore, Paul. Paul got that word through a time of prayer and fasting. You want to hear from God? You need a word from the Lord? Push the food back, push some other things back, get alone with God, and wait. He's no respecter of person. Well, you said, Brother Doss, those are just extraordinary people. No, they're extraordinary people that had an extraordinary encounter with God through prayer and fasting. Can you say amen? Y'all still with me today? Worship. As we worship in spirit and in truth, our whole heart, don't be surprised if he doesn't show up and move in your situation as we worship him in spirit and in truth. Application, God will speak so clearly to you as we obey his voice and his word. He may not speak to you audibly, but in that still small voice and his word, when his word is confirmed, it becomes relevant in our lives. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. The Bible says this word is powerful and living, and is sharper than any two-edged sword. This word has the power to help us and direct us and lead us and deliver us from anything this world has to offer. But this word has absolutely no power until you begin to apply it and put it to practice in your life. Till you begin to stand on it. Till you begin to live it. Till you begin to trust God. God, I'm taking you at your word, because it's his word. And the Bible says his word will not return back null and void. Can you say amen? God will speak to you through his word when he begins to confirm his word. You know, this thing really works. This thing about tithing really works. My God, he's blessed our socks off. Many, many other ways. All these things and more will allow us to cast off the dullness in our lives, that our spiritual hearing may be sharp, especially in these last days. Then we can, as it says in Isaiah, it says, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. This is the way, walk in it. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 tells us, therefore we, say we, must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. We must give the more earnest heed. The word heed means to turn our minds to be more attentive to what we have heard. Not the things in the world, but the things of God, can you say? Lest we drift away. That word drift away means to flow by, to carelessly pass or miss, to let slip. I want to tell you, in this day and hour that we're living in, we don't need to be let anything slipping that God's trying to speak to us. Can you say amen? Lord, sharpen our senses. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. We're going to begin circling now. About to come in for a landing. How important is this for you and I today? How important is this for you and I today? It is critical. It is critical. The Apostle John, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hears the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. We are blessed if we read, hear, and keep the words of this prophecy. Why? Because the time is near. He wrote this about 2,000 years ago. He said the time is near 2,000 years ago. How much closer are we today, church? Eight times it is recorded in the gospel, in the gospels, where Jesus made this statement. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Eight times it's recorded in the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Eight times it's recorded. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. But in Revelation, Jesus takes it a step farther. In Revelation, Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In fact, in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, he makes this statement seven times. But there's two other things that he makes, the two other statements that he says to every church. When he begins to speak to that church, every address begins with this: these things say he, or says the Son of God, or says the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In other words, it's saying, this is what Jesus is saying. And at the end of it, it says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. But there's one more commonality, one more that all of them have present with them. It says, he who overcomes, or to him who overcomes. And every time, to every church, he said, he who overcomes, I will give you this blessing, I will do this for you, I will do that. But our overcoming is directly related to what we're hearing and responding to. Our overcoming, our being able to overcome, is directly related to our hearing and obeying what Jesus is saying. We're not talking about what the Catholic Church is saying. We're not talking about what the Baptist Church is saying. We're not talking about what the Methodist Church is saying. We're not talking about what the Assembly of God Church is saying. We're talking about the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. This says he who was and is to come. He says, you better listen up in these last days, church. The only way we're going to be able to overcome is if we heed and hear what the Word of God is saying. That word overcome means to this, to conquer, prevail, get the victory, come off victorious. Our ability to overcome and conquer and prevail, to be victorious, is directly related by how we hear, obey, and put to place in our lives the things the Lord has spoken, is speaking, and will speak to us by His Spirit. And only those who hear and obey and apply this word will be able to overcome. Oh, but when we hear, hallelujah, when we take heed, when we hearken, when we put that word to practice in our life, when we just do what he says, we're an overcomer. We'll be able to have the victory. We'll be able to come off victorious, not in our own strength, but only in his, through his love and his mercy and his grace. The Bible tells us, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. Are you listening? Are you listening? Lord, sharpen our senses. Lord, sharpen our senses. Brother Kip.